Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Halfway through, and still miles to go before we sleep. Or if you're waking up on your Tuesday morning, oy, I do not know how to. No, that's not something I can do. I will admit, overnights get harder and harder, and I am looking forward to a time, finally, for the first time in a long time, or first time really since I started doing this schedule, I am looking forward to a time at whatever point, maybe it's when this contract ends, that I can change schedules. It definitely does get harder the older that I get, though I'm thrilled with the work that we've done, and by the time this contract ends, it'll be 10 years on the overnight schedule. And so I feel like that's a good stopping point. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Big decisions coming for my career. Actually, big things coming down the pike in my personal life, which then negates changes in my career, too. So, it's good. Change is good because if we never change and we always stay in the same place, whew, we get sedentary and boring and stuck, really. And so that's not an element that has been part of my career for not since I joined CBS Sports Radio, but really not for the past nearly 20 years on network radio. It's been nonstop. It's been a lot of changes all the time. And I've been very blessed by this job. Best job I ever took when the original bosses hired me. But there are times when I think about it, ooh, the schedule is tough. And so if you're waking up in the early, early mornings, you know exactly what I'm talking about because it's not easy to navigate the unlikely hours. So anyway, trying to think about, let's see, what we want to do this hour. The QB news is coming here. We're definitely going to do the Hall of Fame. Maybe we'll get back to the task that faces the Knicks and the Heat. We'll definitely do more hoops in our final hour, to be sure. And then we had one hockey game. Gosh, that escalated quickly for the Edmonton Oilers. And still this kind of soap opera-like saga, soap opera-like tale that's being told by the ex-girlfriend of Tiger Woods. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'll save my reaction when we get to that point, but definitely is something you might get on Real Housewives of Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Actually, Stan just sent me a tweet, and so I'll correct myself. And honestly, you guys are going to laugh at me. I think that the reason I was calling Bob Huggins' comments anti-inflammatory is because that is a substance that my dog takes. I swear to you, it sounds ridiculous, but Bob Huggins' comments are, in fact, inflammatory. So, Stan, thank you for correcting me and pointing that out. This is my spaghetti plate brain at work. My dog takes anti-inflammatories for her joints. I'm sure there are many people out there listening who take anti-inflammatories for various joint and muscle pain. So I'm pretty sure that's why I went with anti-inflammatory instead of inflammatory. Yes, Dan, thank you for listening. And my mistake, now corrected. Definitely inflammatory comments by Bob Huggins. And I do not see how he survives with his job at West Virginia. maybe he doesn't care, which is why he made such comments and used the slur twice and then decided to throw Catholic on it as well because he doesn't care on a commercial radio station. That's even for Bob Huggins, that's raising the bar. Raising the bar of stupidity, raising the bar of insensitivity, raising the bar of I don't give a bleep, raising the bar of arrogance, even for Bob Huggins. I would think there is a slim to zero chance that he survives with his job. I don't know how the university could justify him keeping his job. I don't always agree. In fact, many times I don't agree with ousters and suspensions and the reaction for people who make mistakes in this arena where it's out of character for them, where it's potentially a mistake on social media. I don't love what I feel like is often an overreaction and a lack of grace, a lack of mercy, a lack of forgiveness, a lack of understanding. But in the case of Bob Huggins, this is not out of character for him. He likes stirring the pot. He likes ruffling feathers. He likes what he feels like are the freedom and the ability to do and say whatever he damn well pleases. Except this is offensive and it is inflammatory and it puts his university in a very compromising position, potentially leaving the school no choice, not to mention the radio station. Honestly, I have no idea how that went over the air. If Bob Huggins was on this network and he said the words that he said, we would have dumped them. There's 0% chance they would have ever made it over the airwaves. Because, and I don't care if it's a guest. I don't care how esteemed the guest is or how big a name. I've actually interviewed Bob Huggins before here on the network, and he was benign. There were no comments like that. But had he made comments like that, we would have dumped them. Because then we're responsible for them going over the air. And as much as Bob said them, well, the network is responsible for allowing them to go over the airwaves so thousands and thousands of people can hear them. So I maybe he has zero respect for his job and doesn't care. I would think the university has no choice in this particular case. So thank you, Stan, for pointing that out. Yes, inflammatory, not anti-inflammatories, which is a medicine, a substance that my dog takes. Right. I told you, my dog's been running my life for more than 11 years, and it's kind of sad, actually, that I can that I can associate words with my dog. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No. Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown. Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Lamar Jackson is happy. He is so happy. He got his deal. He got the most ever money paid annually to an NFL player, so the $52 million in average annual value. He didn't get a fully guaranteed contract, but he got a whole lot of guaranteed money. And at this point, he is thrilled to be reinstated as the quarterback of not just the now, but the future for the Baltimore Ravens, and getting back to work, as he tells the Lounge podcast.
I never felt like weight was on my shoulder. It was about people can finally just mind their business now. Go back to doing what they're supposed to do now, because we're good. You know, we did what we're supposed to do. You know, we handle business. And we fine. You know, like I said, it's not about the doubters and the naysayers. You know, it was about us just proving ourselves right. And
right.
I feel like we did.
Mm. Well, it wasn't without its drama, though. The scrubbing of social media, the trade request. That was something that I wanted to know and was really, I guess, kind of put off that he didn't address in his press conference where they were able to sign, seal, deliver him as the quarterback for the next 5 years. He was asked. He didn't want to talk about it. So he saves it then for this Ravens team podcast, which is called The Lounge. And he laughs it off like it was no big thing, that it was just all part of the process.
Well, people were just blown out of proportion, like, oh, this means you want to stay and stuff like that. But it was like, I never said I wanted to go for real. Like, okay, the trade, I requested a trade, but it was nothing serious for real. Like, you know, like, I was just getting the ball rolling.
It was business.
Yeah, it's business, man. That's part of business. But I'm happy, man. I'm satisfied. That's in the past. I'm glad that's over with. You know, I'm happy to be here.
The second part of what he has to say, I can understand. I think that's genuine. I'm glad it's in the past. It's over with. I'm happy to be here. I never said I wanted to leave. But I'm not sure that he's being completely authentic when he talks about the trade request being a negotiating ploy or trying to get the ball rolling, or he didn't really mean it. If you didn't really mean it, then why have it leak out right before your head coach is about to meet with the media in Phoenix? There was definitely gamesmanship going on here. There was definitely a round of hurt feelings. There certainly were some emotions that were boiling over from Lamar Jackson. As much as he told us that he wanted it, or he kept it business, and he was okay with that. You just have to go into these negotiations knowing that it's just business, it's not personal. But it feels as though he had a struggle with that, that it was personal for him. So I'm glad he can laugh it off now. All's well that ends well, I suppose, in this situation. But I don't believe him that it never meant anything. On the Lounge podcast, he tells the guys that he actually was busy trying to recruit even when he still didn't have his deal and was on the franchise tag.
I text Coach Harris. I'm like, is it possible for us to land D-Hop and Odell Beckham?
Uh-huh.
He was like, Lamar, you know, we can't make that happen. We can't get both of them. You know, we have Rashard Bateman. I'm like, I'm not taking anywhere away from Bateman. Like,
yeah.
I love Bateman. Like, he a guy. He a number one receiver. But I'm like, we can just be loaded. That's how I'm looking at it, like a man type game.
Man, you're trying to build your franchise.
I like Lamar, the GM. I'm not
going to
lie.
I'm thinking, like, man, turn, like, man, we can do anything. I just want to win the Super Bowl. Like, it really don't matter. You know, we can 1 year deal. It don't really matter. Coach, just make it happen. You know, he's like, we can't do that. I'm like, like that, and then I see something come out like, oh, Lamar said, if we can't get both of them, he's not signed. I'm like, what? No, he missed whoever tweeted that out there. Like, that's BS. Yeah. Like, no, yeah. I wasn't thinking that, but you know, it is what it is. But I was happy we got Odell, though. Like, we got one of them, you know.
So then Lamar is telling the coach and reaching out to the coach about recruiting these different receivers. Then Odell turns around and returns the favor. And he is trying to get Lamar to sign after he's already joined the Ravens. So, yes, Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr., Nelson Aguilar, Zay Flowers drafted in the first round, Devin Duvernay as well. I mean, you got a bunch of different guys to go along with Mark Andrews. And remember, last year, the Ravens didn't have anyone on their wide receiver roster to start the season who had more than 2 years of experience. So decidedly different along with their re-inked quarterback. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That's the AFC North. The AFC East has a new sheriff in town, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And Robert Saleh on the Rich Eisen Show on Monday, still telling the same story, that Rodgers is present and he's making an impact, even in voluntary workouts.
He's here, he's present. And when I say that, present, I mean he's fully engaged. And it's really cool just to watch him operate from play to play in his communication. And and the way he works from position group to position group in terms of explaining things. Like I said, he already knows the system, and so now it's kind of trying to help everyone get on the same page, not only with him but with the coordinator, the whole line, and it's been fun.
Rodgers has got people around him talking about how giddy he is. How
people are coming here to play with me.
Psyched he is. How much it feels like he's got a fresh start and a new lease on his career. Even at the age that he is, he's got more to accomplish. And obviously with the Jets and the city of New York rolling out the red carpet for him, throwing a big party, giving him all their attention. Oh yeah, definitely is the big fish in a big pond in New York right now. Saleh also talked about this idea that Rodgers gave them a wish list and said, "Here, these are the people that I want on the Jets roster."
I think it'd be kind of silly if your Hall of Fame quarterback has a comfort level with somebody and you don't answer that bell. You know, I think it's counterproductive to what you're trying to get done. And if we work, you know, there's an old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's in communication, if we're truly going to preach communication and being on the same page, and we're going to listen to everything.
I like that. If you want to go fast, go alone. It's true. A lot of times we can run faster and unencumbered if we're by ourselves, but if you truly want a connection, you truly want to build something special, well, then you go with other people, and sometimes you may have to go at a different pace. Joe Namath, that was the Rich Eisen show. Joe Namath was on Sirius XM NFL radio, and he's also fairly giddy over Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
I've never seen anyone play better football. I know Tom's got some championships under his belt. And that's
Thomas
special.
And Brady.
But I've never seen anybody move around as well or better than Aaron Rodgers does, throw on the run, do this, and, you know, never looks like he's in doubt. He lifted the team before he even got in to the clubhouse, I would think. If I'm a player on that team, man, and I know my quarterback that's coming, Aaron Rodgers, excuse me, you're going to be sky high.
Sky high. That's how Joe Namath describes it. Aaron Rodgers, now part of the New York Jets.
And also, I love Aaron Rodgers.
Hi, Tom Brady. I mean, Joe mentioned you too by first name. The AFC East and the conference as a whole, though, it's no joke. It's stacked.
Tough division. I don't know any weak divisions, but New England and Miami and Buffalo, just to get into the playoffs, we've got to play well. But with Aaron, man, we kind of feel like we know we can do it. The team should feel that way. I mean, they're improving. The draft choices they brought in, Joe Douglas in just a couple of few short years has put together some good players. But competition is keen, man, and Lady Luck plays a role.
Lady Luck. Joe Namath, of course, spending a dozen years with the New York Jets himself and has his own place in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and in Jets lore. Going back to Super Bowl III, can Aaron Rodgers guide the Jets now and make Joe Namath even more sky high?
I think I'll be able to throw pretty good to him, about 60 or 70.
No. The NFL does not need you around until you're 60 or 70. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Bryce Young starting fresh with the Carolina Panthers, and he tells Jake Delhomme on Panthers YouTube he had no idea that he was going number one overall.
I didn't know. I still hadn't had a phone call.
So you had to have been a little nervous. I was nervous, and I wasn't even getting drafted.
Yeah, I was anxious for sure. The only heads up that I got, and it wasn't me, they told everybody, was that the first pick, you had to wait 5 minutes for the first pick. So luckily, we all knew, you know, they told everyone. So luckily, knowing that, I was like, because if, you know, having to go a full 5 minutes, it would have been like, okay, but, you know, after 5 minutes, you know, and still then, you know, I knew that I wasn't in control of that situation. You know, I knew what you know, whatever I ended up with, you know, that's where God wanted me. And I'm super, super grateful that this place was here.
It's been a whirlwind, no doubt, from the combine process and the workouts and then the individual workouts with teams. Of course, waiting and wondering how this would play out, getting drafted number one overall, the media attention there. So Jake Delhomme asks him whether or not he's been able to take a breath.
I'm trying to. You know, this has been a whirlwind. Everything that's going on, I'm super, super grateful and super blessed for this to be going on. But I'm still trying to process it all in real time. But I'm super excited to be here.
Rookie OTAs, rookie minicamps taking place now. So a lot of these guys getting their first taste of football as a job, the NFL as a job. Now, the question will be whether or not he should start right away and how quickly the Carolina Panthers should throw him into the fire, though he certainly faced plenty of fire in his tenure at Alabama. I've had former Crimson Tide players who are now in the NFL tell me that there is no better training ground than Alabama. In fact, they kind of feel like going through Nick Saban's program was even more rigorous and more demanding than what they face in the NFL. So many of them are prepared for that next level. But how quickly do you throw him out there in terms of his ability to get acclimated to not just the speed, but the NFL offenses? So you hear him with Jake Delhomme, who helped the Panthers get to a Super Bowl. As an undrafted QB, the expectation's so different for Bryce Young. Former NFL QB Rich Gannon actually believes patience is the key with Bryce.
There's a reason why the Carolina Panthers added the 13-year veteran Andy Dalton. If you go back a couple of years to when the Chicago Bears drafted Justin Fields, and a lot of Bear fans were disappointed that then head coach Matt Nagy decided to start Andy Dalton. Trust me, there's a reason why they did it. Justin Fields simply wasn't ready for prime time. And that may well be the case with Bryce Young here in a couple months. It's nice to have a veteran quarterback like Andy Dalton who's been there, who's done that. You know, I always say it's kind of like a 16-year-old with a car. You know, before you hand him the car keys, you better make sure he knows how to stop the car, how to start the car. You know what I mean? How to avoid oncoming traffic. You know, I think too often we just want to hand the keys to a young quarterback before he is ready. And as I always say, it's not necessarily whether Bryce Young is ready to play. It's also whether or not the Carolina Panthers are ready for the young quarterback.
That's Rich Gannon, who likens it to a teenager with a license. All right, I guess, except, well, a teenager with a license can do a lot of damage to both himself, the car, as well as other people. You don't want Bryce Young to get damaged, certainly. You don't want his confidence to be smashed early on. I don't think he's that type of a quarterback, though. Again, he's been through so much at Alabama. You don't want him to get roughed up either. You want him to be intact and to be whole and healthy through his first year. But Carolina moved up to the number one pick. They weren't the worst team in the league. They were competing for a playoff spot into the late stages of last season. They've got a good young defense. They've got some nice pieces, though they've traded away a few as well. They've got a great new head coach in Frank Reich. They're not starting at the bottom, so they might be more prepared to protect him and to work with a rookie quarterback sooner rather than later. All right, speaking of rookie QB, CJ Stroud, how quickly can he become the top dog for the Houston Texans?
Well, I think that's up to him and how he plays and the coaches and how they see him. So he'll earn his spot wherever that is, and he'll feel like he's earned it, and the team will know he's earned, you know, wherever he winds up. So we're looking forward to that.
Ooh, I like the bird in the background. Cal McNair, the Houston Texans owner. It's up to CJ Stroud how quickly he ends up as the starter. Also, he said on Monday that it wasn't ownership that had CJ drafted. It was not them telling the front office what to do. In fact, Cal McNair said, my wife and I, we don't make the picks, right? So we have a great group of scouts. We've got our general manager. We let the front office determine, in case you were wondering. All right, it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, on Facebook, we're glad to connect with you, especially when it comes to the polls that we put out there, certainly, but needing you all to help us make decisions, make choices, like the latest After Hours Hall of Fame inductee. A little bit late to the revelation and giving you the payoff for the tease because your host, well, she's got a spaghetti plate brain. But it's coming up straight ahead. The latest inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm a man! I'm 40!
I want to eat his children.
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidate for the After Hours Hall of Flame.
What is the Hall of Flame?
A place you go when you crash and burn.
Put that in your... Practice,
here's Amy Lawrence.
We are proud to finally present the one candidate that you chose for induction into the After Hours Hall of Flame. If you forgot, well, we did allow you the chance to vote going back to Thursday night, Friday morning. So it's a Hall of Flame Friday, but because the poll was still live throughout the day on Friday, we decided to wait until the polls closed rather than calling it early. And it's a good thing we did, because initially when the polling started robustly at the beginning, we had one particular candidate that was in the lead. By the time the polls closed, it was someone completely different. So we gave you Draymond Green in his barking on his own podcast about Dylan Brooks.
This idiot said,
"You not a champ, you a clown." Anyway, Draymond Green, who's got all kinds of other problems these days. We also gave you Jason Tatum, or his alter ego, Jason Taylor, according to Charles Barkley, who didn't come off of the All-Star break with his best game. Apparently, he had fun celebrating his Kobe Bryant MVP award.
Still drunk from vacation. That's how I played the night.
And he was very honest about it as well. So those were your two hoops candidates. From the world of the NFL, well, Aaron Rodgers, duh, because he does not like it when people think they know what he's going to do or have any professed of any type of insight over his decisions or where he's going or how he's handling his business.
You're not going to have my number.
Yeah, he gets really salty when you think you know or you start to talk about him and you actually don't know. And he wants
you do a great job, but not when it comes to my life, so stop talking about me.
Oh, my gosh. On the Pat McAfee Show, there's so much material with Aaron Rodgers. We had one other candidate, though, and initially, while Draymond Green and then Aaron Rodgers had a robust role in kind of breaking out in front, we thought maybe we'd be inducting Dre into the Hall of Flame again. He's there with some prior comments. Aaron Rodgers maybe for the first time. Instead, you all decided over the course of Friday that you were going to go with the carefree champion who also doesn't give a crap what anyone thinks about him or what they might say about him. No, he's just going to be who he is, and he's going to have a blast while he's doing it. And he also comes from the world of the NFL.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You got to fight for your right to party.
Other than say the Manning brothers, and really it's out of season right now, so we're not getting a lot from Peyton and Eli. Are there two brothers who are more popular? The iron is hot. Jason and Travis Kelce, you see them everywhere. Travis even hosted Saturday Night Live. They've got their podcast, which they are hosting in the offseason. Those two right now, they could sell, what is that old adage? Oh my gosh, waterfront property in Arizona. They could sell waterfront property in Arizona, oceanfront property in Arizona. I think that comes from a country song. It's an older country song, oceanfront property in Arizona. I can kind of hear it in my head, actually. Anyway, so all that to say, they right now are trending. It doesn't matter what they do, they're trending. George Strait used to be trending with his oceanfront property in Arizona. Now it's the Kelce brothers. And you
the
all
f- is that guy.
You all, well, they forced me to listen to their extraordinarily long and rambling podcast every week during season. I'm not going to be doing it in the off season, but during the season, it's great information. And so the Kelce brothers, they struck it rich because they started this podcast up. Just happened to be the season where they both end up in the Super Bowl. Their mom is really popular as well. So Travis Kelce, the latest inductee into the After Hours Hall of Fame, courtesy of you. Thank you for all of your votes. As I say, we saw a wild swing. I'm not sure what that means. Was there some election tampering potentially? No, Travis Kelce deserves to be in. You can always find our polls on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page as well. And we appreciate your participation when it comes to answering show questions or taking our polls.
Mayor Jabroni.
I had to look up Jabroni because I had no idea what that meant or no idea where the reference came from. Yep. Let's see. Straight ahead, we'll do a little hockey. There's just one game last night. But man, when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, you just can never get comfortable. If you're a fan of the Edmonton Oilers, there's got to be some frustration. If you're a fan of the Golden Knights, though, completely different situation, as now they have the lead in this Western Conference series. And also, Lonnie Walker, the legend of Lonnie Walker. This is what I love about playoffs, the stories that you never expected.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Out comes Jack Eichel to the red line. Rink wide right to Marchessault. To the middle, Eichel straight on. Waits, pulls to the circle. He centers, they score! Off of Marchessault and into the goal. Vegas takes a 2-1 lead. Off the shelf, Eichel coming out. One of the Oilers goes down. It's a 3-on-1. Eichel shooting, he scores! Perfectly placed wrister low on the long side. And the Oilers give up two goals in the second period and now trail 4-1. And Waz follow-up does not count. It was bang-bang, shot, save, rebound, goal. Waz now threads it in front. They score anyway! Stevenson! And now the Knights lead 5-1 with 2:47 to go in the period.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man. Once the Vegas Golden Knights withstood the early onslaught from the Edmonton Oilers, this game taking place in Edmonton last night, it was Golden Knights the rest of the way. The game is actually re-airing in my studio, and they're still tied at one late in the first period, but little did the Oilers know what was about to happen. 5 unanswered goals by the Vegas Golden Knights. And the goalie for Stuart Skinner, the goalie for the Oilers, was pulled in the second period. He gave up 4 goals on 23 shots. But yeah, this one was still tied at 1 with about 2 minutes to go in the first period. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call's there on the Golden Knights radio network. So Vegas takes the edge in this game 3 and does it with a victory in Edmonton. So grabbing that home ice back, Jack Eichel with a goal and an assist.
We're doing a good job getting back on top of them, you know, early in the game and, you know, minimizing their transition. So I think it led to some offense for us and it's good to see. The goals there, they start in our end and you break a puck out, you get the puck in their zone and, you know, all of a sudden you score a goal. So, you know, credit to our, you know, our defensemen and you know, everyone as a unit. Thought we played well as a group, and you know, you saw that, you know, translate to, you know, opportunities offensively.
This is rare, but this happened for Edmonton last night. So give credit to the Golden Knights because neither Leon Draisaitl nor Connor McDavid had a point in last night's game. Again, extremely rare.
Why are you so pissy, Leon?
That would be one reason. Draisaitl with 13 goals and 4 assists in the 8 playoff games to this point until last night, before last night. And then Connor McDavid didn't have a point either for the first time since their series opener against LA. Pretty hefty stuff from the Golden Knights. So yeah, this was an even game, 1-1 with a minute left-ish in the first period. And Vegas had two goals before they hit the locker room and added three more in the second period. And Edmonton had no counter. So you just had to withstand that early onslaught. And as for the Edmonton Oilers now, we're not talking about anything that's insurmountable. But the loss itself, the way that it goes, not being able to even finish the first period, much less find that momentum again later in the game, is disappointing.
Not a lot to like about tonight. I mean, obviously, certainly we don't like to do that at this time of year. Obviously, you know, these are big games. With that being said, we're in the same position last series. So, you know, it's a long series.
But you work so hard, and McDavid and Draisaitl had such an historic performance between the two of them. The numbers that they put up this year, incredible. So yeah, credit to the Golden Knights. How often is that something that not only did we see it at any point during the regular season, but considering now with everything that's on the line and being in Edmonton with the crazed fans, after they go nutso because of the hot start by the Oilers, the way to silence them is to grab that momentum away. And even before the Golden Knights were able to score, even before they took the lead in that first period, they were generating more shots. And so they were coming up with opportunities. It took them a bit to be able to take the lead, so end of the first period. But after that, Oilers just had no response. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. We'll get back to hoops at the top of the hour. We're going to talk more about Lonnie Walker. So on Sunday night, it was Landry Shamet. And on Monday night, it's Lonnie Walker. Such good stories. I don't know if we'll talk about Landry or Lonnie the rest of the way in the playoffs, but they've just had their time to shine. It's amazing. It's what one of the things the playoffs are so good for. And while we have a long way to go, we're not there yet. These are just the semifinals in the conference, which means that you've got other teams that are part of the equation. But it would be crazy if we ended up with both Lakers and Heat in the conference finals and possibly a rematch in the NBA finals. Again, don't know that that's going to happen. But to have two teams coming through the play-in tournament, which I don't love anyway. The play-in tournament is gimmicky. I think it's cheap and cheesy. However, if that's how these teams survive and it's part of the process of them getting there, for the Heat and for the Lakers, just to get into the playoffs was a chore. And then having to fight through that play-in tournament, it's a little bit like the first four in Dayton. I think it helps you find a rhythm, find a groove, gets you in playoff mode a little bit earlier. And plus, they had been working their arses off just to make the bracket. There's something to be said for that sense of urgency late in a season. I think it's the same for the Florida Panthers while we're talking about it. While we're speaking of playoffs, too, I meant to bring this up because we had talked about it last night. The NBA will not suspend Nikola Jokic, which if the NBA had suspended him for game number 5 over snatching the ball away and then making contact with, well, responding to the Suns owner making contact with him. Yeah, I would have had a field day with that.
It's true.
Fans are not supposed to be putting their hands on players either. And I don't care if he's an owner. In this particular case, if he's not a player, he's a fan. He's in the stands. So yeah, Jokic gave him a forearm shiver, and that was unnecessary. And oh my gosh, the Suns owner flopped. Have you seen the video? If you really look at the video, Matt Ishbia, he flopped. And what Jokic said afterwards, as well as Mike Malone, but what Jokic said afterwards about, hey, isn't the NBA supposed to be protecting us from fans or anybody who's not part of the game making contact with us? Jokic didn't have to respond the way that he did because of his size. He threw an elbow into the chest of the Suns owner. And while I do think that the guy flopped, there wasn't any need for that. However, a suspension would have been completely over the top and gross. It would have given a massive advantage to the Suns in game five. And I would hope that the owner wouldn't want that. This is what he put on Twitter. This is Monday. Great win for the Suns last night. An amazing series so far. That should be and is the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over last night's incident would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic and don't want to see anything like that. Excited for game five. Go Suns. Now, Jokic did get fined, but $25,000 for kind of shoving his forearm into the chest of this dude. And I'm telling you, he flopped. You can go back and look. He definitely flopped. I haven't loved the way that these playoffs have been officiated when it comes to flagrants and technicals. It's almost as though the NBA has told its officials to take no prisoners, to not let anyone get away with anything. And in some cases, we've had far too many free throws too, but referring mostly to flagrants and technical fouls, it's been over the top. Almost everything now, except for when Joel Embiid delivers a crotch chop to Nick Claxton. That's not a flagrant somehow, but there are flagrants left and right and technicals everywhere you look. It's just, it's over the top. It seems excessive. So good thing the NBA made the right choice in this case with Jokic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.